If someone were to ask you what type of hope you have, what would you say and why? Is it based on your conditions and circumstances? Or is your hope based upon the certainty of the gospel? Pastor Searight explains these important distinctions in his message entitled, Two Resurrections.
He's given us this view in his word about resurrection. And here is how resurrection hits home for us. It's our hope. It ties in with our hope. We have a hope that since he rose Christ, since God rose Christ, he will also raise us. Amen. So Jesus goes on and he tells us about two resurrections. Two resurrections. One is spiritual and present. The other is physical and future. Verses 25 through 27 talks about this spiritual and present resurrection. It's truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Truly, 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 truly indicates that this thing is important. It's important. You must listen carefully and make sure you get what Jesus is saying. Here is something new. It's new. It's the giving of spiritual life. New life in Christ. In Christ. New life. That's the name of a church I know about. And the aim of the law, here's the difference. The aim of the law back in the Old Testament mainly focused on preserving life. But with the proclamation of the gospel, now we're saying, as Jesus stated, we're proclaiming, as Jesus claimed in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. When? Right now. Right now. He said, an hour is coming and now is. And now is. Spiritual life has come and it's right now. And what it depends on? It depends on what you do with Jesus. What will you do with Christ? Because depending on what you do with him, you will either have spiritual life right now or you will not. It's all about what will you do with Christ. You know, I once read a scholar's comment on Jesus' resurrection, resurrecting Lazarus. He said that had not Jesus specifically called for Lazarus, there was so much power that came forth in his command that had he not mentioned Lazarus, everybody would have raised. But he had to specifically call for Lazarus. Now that's power. That is some power for you. But what this section of scripture is talking about, unfortunately, is not talking about everybody. Spiritual life right now is not for everybody. That's hard, isn't it? That's a hard thing. And I wrestled with it when I studied it. Because, see, the thing is, grammatically, the way this verse is structured, it communicates that this is not a reference to all having all the dead. When he says it in verse 25, all the dead, he uses the word all later. He doesn't use the word all here in verse 25. So those who hear his call and recognize that call, hear that call and respond to that call, will have spiritual life. We'll break that down even more. Because the point that I want to stress here first is that you are not the source of life. Life is something that is given to us. It's given to us. We are not the source, and neither do we sustain our lives. Neither do we sustain our lives. Yes, eat. Yes, eat healthy. But the truth is that God sustains your life. And when that time comes where he says your days are done, I don't care how many healthy meals you've eaten. I don't care how many treadmills you have visited. He will say when you're done, you're done. Amen. In Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit, outworking in the sons of disobedience. This thing is all of God. You were dead. Dead in your trespasses and sins, and God had to quicken you. Now, it is no small thing when the 25th verse says that the dead will hear. How can the dead hear unless it is a miracle? But he doesn't stop there, because he says, not only would the dead hear, the dead will live. The dead will live. So in Jesus' voice, when it goes forth and it's the call for spiritual life, not only will the dead hear, but the dead will also live. This thing pertains to spiritual life. Everyone is interesting, because the general call that goes out that everyone hears is saying, to the utmost, Jesus saves. But unfortunately, everyone doesn't take that opportunity to come. He says in verse 26, for just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. You know, if I were to regurgitate right now the words that I studied and the comments that scholars made, I would run the risk of you all possibly being kind of in the dark and confused. So I asked the Lord for an illustration. And I hope this illustration of verse 26 helps you understand what he is saying in this verse. I have a gigantic bowl of peppermints. A gigantic bowl of peppermints. And I mean, these are my peppermints. I have the supply to peppermints. They are mine. Now, because of all the work, sacrifice, dedication that Jalen has shown, I want to have him appreciated for that. I want him to be appreciated for all of his work and dedication and his commitment. So I give him the key to all my peppermints. And I want him to be identified as the source of peppermints as well. So as he hands them out, there are those that like peppermints. But then there are those that don't like peppermints. So he hands them out, and everyone has the opportunity to get a peppermint, but some people say, I don't like peppermints. I just don't like peppermints. Because of the work that the Son, Jesus, did on the cross, right? God the Father said, I give you that opportunity to give life. You are the source of life. You are the sustainer of life. And I want people to honor you for the work not only you've done on the cross, but before the cross as well. You've come down here, and I want them to associate you with honor and glory. I want them to understand that you are my son. So I give you the opportunity. I give you the right to hand life, to give life, and give it more abundantly. But let's not shy away from those that don't like peppermints. And here is how it is explained. I know, and I'll use Aiden. I know Aiden does not like peppermints, but I keep giving him the opportunity for peppermints. And Aiden says, no, I don't want peppermints. So he passes it by, but yet I still continue to give him peppermints. And I'm loading him with peppermints. Well, all of a sudden it becomes irritating to Aiden. Aiden said, I don't like peppermints. And he's giving me thousands of peppermints. And then he gets more irritated to where all of a sudden he's stomping the peppermints. And I don't like these peppermints. And he just keeps giving me these peppermints. All of a sudden, I stopped giving him peppermints. Not because I don't want to give him peppermints. Are y'all following me? It's because of what he's doing with the peppermints. Now, when all the people see what he's doing with peppermints, they might sit back and say, that's so bold how he's treating him with his peppermints. I mean, you know, he could have at least the decency to just say thank you and take it. But he just, you know, put it on the ground and he's just stomping it and just acting a fool. Right? But when it comes to God, and those peppermints are blessings and opportunities that you have to accept him, right? All of a sudden, what happens is, all of these opportunities, in the end, Aiden is responsible for them. So God, in his mercy, says, all right, I'll back off of giving him these peppermints. Or I'll back off of giving him this. Because the more I give him, in the end, the more he is going to have to answer to. And he's going to be responsible for. And that's, in a word, they call reprobation. Reprobation. Reprobation is that time in which God doesn't want to keep piling it on to you. and keep piling it on, piling these opportunities, piling these blessings on, because in the end, you're going to have to answer for them. You have to answer for the opportunities. You're going to have to answer for the chances that you had, and then you rejected Christ. So in his mercy, he eases back. And he lets you do what you want to do. In verse 27, it says, and he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. See, you cannot leave off where verse 26 left off, because you have to explain it further. John had to explain it further because he had to tell you who had the authority, who had the authority, who had the call, who had the authority to make a call as to who will have life and who will not have life. See, if God, as I stated, left that up to us, we would put people down under like that. But God says, I didn't give you the authority to do that. You can't go back and just sit back and say, oh yeah, he's reprobate. That's not your call. Oh yeah, he's going. You know where he's going. That's not your call. That's not your call. So the matters of the heart, that has to deal with God and God only. You understand? So don't go around saying, oh yeah, because he rejected, and you see him rejected time and time and time again, that means that he may have another opportunity and say, Lord, here I am. That's not your call. And that's why we witness. And that's why we witness, because it is not our call. We don't know those matters. So we keep on giving that opportunity. Keep on proclaiming the gospel. Keep on saying that he is Lord, because we don't know. We don't know the authority to execute judgment was given to Jesus. Wasn't given to see right. And it wasn't given to you. Next, he goes on to explain a physical and future resurrection. We just talked about a spiritual and present resurrection. Now he moves on to explain a physical and future resurrection. He says in verse 28, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. All of a sudden, there's that important word, all. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. All means all, everybody, everyone, individually, collectively, I don't care how you put it, it's all. And when that time comes, physically, everybody will be raised from their tombs. If they're dead, we'll raise them up, because they are going to receive, at one time or another, a resurrection to life or a resurrection of judgment. And this is talking more so in the future, events to come. So In the future, you will have no choice but to rise. If he comes and you are gone, you're dead and gone, you will have no choice but to rise. If he comes right now, you will have no choice but to stand attention. So whatever you call control now, enjoy it. Because there's going to come a time in which you will not be in control. You will not call the shots. So enjoy what you call now, because the decision is his later. In plain English, Jesus states that physical resurrection of all people will occur. But there are two types of people for two types of resurrections. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life. Now, you might say to yourself, I do good. I do good. I pray. I give. I fast. That's in Sunday school this morning. I pray. I give. I fast. I do good. Here's the thing. You don't call the shots on what's good either. So all of a sudden, who calls the shots on what's good? God. How do you find out what's good and pleasing to him? Through his word. Through his word. So all of a sudden, you are following his word and you are doing these good deeds. But say that you do get yourself a Bible and you follow all these good deeds and you follow all these good deeds and you follow all of these good deeds, but you never accept Christ. We are not saved by works. It still boils down to what will you do with this Jesus? What will you do with this Jesus? So those who have accepted Christ and they have done good deeds will have a resurrection of life. Oh, but there's another group of people and there's another resurrection. Those who commit. They committed the evil deeds. They are raised to a resurrection of judgment. And every time you see this word, committed the evil deeds, it doesn't have good in it. It is saying that they did things contrary to God on a regular basis. This was their life. This is what they were about. This is what they were all invested in, is doing what they wanted to do and not what God wanted them to do. And in the end, you're resurrected. And when you're resurrected, you come before him. And when you come before him, of course, when it's precious time, and you look over there, and you see all that fire, you say, but Lord, did I not feed that hungry man? Did I not let down my window when he was on the corner and gave him a dollar and said, bless you? Did I not come to church two times and throw something in the plate? Lord, did I not do that? Did I not send my kids to church and I slept? and you try to reason because you see something over there and it looks like it's for you. And he says, what? Depart from me, I never knew you, because you never tried to get to know me. Saints, this thing is real. This thing is real. And each day we are dealing with souls. You should not even want your worst enemy to have a resurrection unto judgment. You should have enough love of Christ in your heart to where the person you've been beefing with for years, you want to tell them about Christ so they can go to heaven. You don't want that for anybody. But here's the most important thing. You don't want it for yourself. You don't want it for yourself. Recently, I had the opportunity to study a little scripture with Elder Williamson, and it was Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 52 to 54. And it was a real interesting piece of scripture because it says that the tombs were open and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. This is telling of the time when Jesus was on the cross. And when he said that it was finished, he ended up dying. But then there was a resurrection. There was a resurrection. And this resurrection was so powerful that it said, I have the victory over death. And I have that victory over death, and I have the right to give life, that boom, all of a sudden, others rose as well with him. And when they rose with him, they started walking around. They went to Jerusalem. Right? There was a time period where the tombs were open, but then there was an opportunity where they got out those tombs and they started walking in Jerusalem. And some folks said that they were Old Testament saints. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? That they were walking around. You know, Anna may have passed by this time. Simeon may have passed by this time, and they're walking around in Jerusalem, and they're just walking testimonies as to how Jesus has the power over death. And he raised them again. But you know what? They didn't die again, because they went up to heaven with him. That is our hope, saints. That is our hopes. Death, where is your sting? Right? Where is the victory? Because he got up with all power in his hand. So here is the million-dollar question. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Because depending on what you do with him, either accepting him as your Lord and Savior or rejecting him altogether, depending on what you do, it depends on if you will have a resurrection unto life or a resurrection of judgment. What will you do? What will you do with this Jesus? This point can't be stressed enough. And I'm not trying to make it light over that illustration of peppermints and things of that nature. But you all are blessed daily, by hour, by minute, by seconds. You are blessed. Your life is sustained by him. This very moment, you are not causing yourself to live. He is having you to live and move and have your being. He is the one that gives life, and you will not give it to him. You will not live it for him. Somehow, like they've twisted the whole zombie thing, somehow you have tricked yourself into believing that your life is your own. Somehow you think your life is your own. Somehow you've gotten here and it was in your decision to be born. So all of a sudden, boom, your life was created, and you just say to yourself one day, this is my life. This is my life. And I'm going to live it like I want to live it. Although I did not give myself life, although I can't sustain life, I'm going to treat it as if I can do those things. I will be my own God. That's what I'll be. I'll be my own God. You know, I will store all my fruits and goods, and I'll build larger barns for my good portion. And when I say to myself, after I sit down, I say, self, take thine ease and be merry. But then God said to that fool, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Now who will all those things be which thou hast provided? Who will all those Jordans belong to when you leave? Who will all of your tight Iverson, Kobe, LeBron jerseys, who will those things go to? Because that is not the fashion in heaven nor in hell. Who will that tight, sweet ride go to with the Daytons on it and everything else spinning? Who will it be, Chris? Who will it go to when you are dead and gone? Who will it be? Who will it go to? And here's the crazy thing. When you go to either hell or heaven and all the stuff you leave, the folks you leave it to ain't gonna love it like you loved it. They ain't gonna treat it like you love it. Matter of fact, they might liquidate it and say, I need more money to get things that I like. What will you do with this Jesus? Tell you what I would do. I would come running. If I didn't know him as my Lord and Savior, I would not let another tick on the clock go by. I would say, Lord, you are my Savior, my King, my Lord, and I want you to be in my life. I want you to take my life and use it to your glory. That's what I would say. And if you have that same thought, then don't let this moment pass you by. There will be folks here in the church in front here that will guide you through that. And make sure that you leave here under that ark of protection. And once you've made that decision, you don't have to worry about that resurrection of judgment. Because right here and right now in the present, this very hour, you will have life and life more abundantly. Amen. And for those who want prayer, same folks will be up here. Pray with you so that your walk in Christ can be even stronger. For those who have visited us time and time again and you say, I like what's going on here at New Life, then I say, come, the more the merrier. God bless you all. God bless you. And I guess I will dismiss. We can all stand. Father God, what a sobering passage of Scripture. Lord, it tugs at the heart, and it penetrates the mind. And Father, it's so hard to ignore when you truly understand what you are saying. Because what you're saying is that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, and He is the only way. He is the only thing that protects us from your day of judgment. And that we need to accept Him as our Lord and personal Savior. Father, I ask that you touch everyone here that heard this word on today. And if there are things that they need even more clarification on, even on this very passage, Father, I ask that you give that to them. Bless and increase their understanding so that they may understand what you preached. Father, I ask also that you just encourage those who have made you their choice already. Give them a blessed peace and a feeling of assurance that they made that right choice. But Lord, for those that are still weighing in the balance, Father, I ask you for your grace and mercy. Lord, give them another opportunity to come. And I ask that you bless us, Father. Watch over us and be with us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at nlccpontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you. We'll be right back.